Six.
I call to order the monthly water district at 6:01 p.m. on 4/11/2023 in order. Roll call. Lisa, here. Beth?
Here.
Eileen?
Eileen?
I assume you're here.
I think my internet's a little bit. Can you hear me?
Now we can, yeah.
Okay, all right. Did you ask me a question, Lisa? I'm sorry, it kind of broke.
Are you here?
Yeah, here I am. I'm in Portland.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Whitney's in the present. Curtis and J.J. Olson are here. Stan and Patty Hart, the Mullins, and Dale Powers. Did anyone have any questions about the board summaries from the previous two meetings that haven't been addressed? No?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, can I get a motion to accept the two previous board summary meetings that Beth does on a wonderfully well?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is Highland Water Company's water operator report. Curtis.
All righty. Well, the only thing that was out of the ordinary for the past month was our fault. We got a locate out on Mahala. Our office, when they pulled it up on Google, didn't realize that Mahala was inside the water district. And so they just X-made the locate request as being an error, which we do get errors locates pretty often. But then the contractor hit it. So we went out, we got the line fixed, rebuilt. It hasn't been completely backfilled yet. The line's been covered. It's not going to freeze or break. No one's going to fall into it or anything. We just haven't finished. But all that fiasco, Otterock's not being billed for, that was on us. Just want to let you know what happened and it's been dealt with. Few side items. Couple courtesy shutoffs that Cody did, nothing too big. We have scheduled, I believe it's the 20th. Yeah, April 20th, we're going to start doing the line splicing. So we'll be out there, probably myself and one other tech with the back trailer, uncovering the lines at the four addresses that Beth sent me. Thought process is we'll get the lines uncovered that Thursday and door tag, and that will give us time to collect all the parts we need, come back probably the following week and get everything sliced in and back ready to go. So I did reach out to Ferguson about new meters. They have a few on hand, less than five or six. They also have our three. We sent them to the branch in Ferguson, and basically the branch in Ferguson said, yep, they're broken, and sent them to the branch in Portland. So now the branch in Portland has them to classify what is wrong with them, and then hopefully they can either send them back to the manufacturer or just replace them there. So that's where we're at with those guys. But they've moved from one branch of Ferguson to another.
So do we still know if they're under warranty or not, or we don't know that yet?
They're under warranty. What they're trying to figure out is what exactly is broken, because if a rock got into the meter, that wouldn't be their problem. That would be something we'd have to fix. But if the register just had electrical malfunction, then they'd have to send it back to the manufacturer and give us a new one.
Okay. So
the one at Ferguson just said, yep, something's wrong with these, and then sent them to Portland.
Okay.
So Portland's now diagnosing what broke.
Do you know if Ferguson will cross ship if they figure that they're going to give us, you know, replacements?
I'm sorry.
Do you know if Ferguson will cross ship if they determine that they will be replaced?
I don't know what cross-ship means. From what I understand, they have to send the meter back to the manufacturer, and then the manufacturer will send them a new meter to give us.
The manufacturer will send them a replacement?
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to them actually fixing the existing meter.
Right. I don't think they will be doing that.
Yeah.
They would hand it back to us if there was something like a rock inside of the meter.
Right, yeah.
So if this is on you, you can fix it.
Yeah. Oh, that's understandable. On the new meters, you said they had a few?
They have a few.
And those are the 3/4 by 3/4?
Yep.
What's a few?
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
What's a few?
They said 5 or 6.
Okay.
And do we have a price on those?
Nope. You were supposed to send me a quote today. I never got it.
Okay.
What about boxes, Curtis?
We have 9 boxes at the
district
building.
Okay, so we should have boxes to cover if we order some more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good.
Sounds good. And then I haven't touched much on the new lead and copper amendment. JJ, he's our compliance manager at Highland Water. He has done the most research into this. He knows much, much more about it than I do. So I'll let him kind of take the floor and fill everybody in on what our governing agency has decided to do.
Thanks. So I have a presentation that I can share with you guys. If I can share my screen, or I can just go through the bullet points if you'd like. It's up to you guys.
Why don't you just go through the bullet points for right now?
Sure.
If that's okay with you guys, Beth and Lisa.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So the highlights of it is the EPA is the federal branch, Environmental Protection Agency. They've come out, they've amended their rule, and they said, we want to ensure that there's no lead anywhere as much as possible. 1985, they tried this once, and what they ended up doing was sending out a survey to all the operators that said, is there any lead in your system? And all the operators said, well, no, there's no lead in our system. Otherwise, that would cost us money. Well, there's been cases that there's clearly still lead in the system. So the EPA has mandated that now we have to take a full inventory of all water services, metered and not metered, to actually tell them what that service is, and that we've had verifiable proof that it's not just an operator signature anymore. So they're classifying it literally into 3 or 4 categories, where it's either lead, it's non-lead, it's unknown, or it's galvanized line that's requiring replacement because there was lead parts prior to the galvanized. The lead status unknown, they've made it clear that they will not take that as part of the final inventory. So I really don't know why they included that in their count, but this all has to be done by October 16th of 2024. So we've got the year and a half almost to date to get this wrapped up. The struggle is, you guys are operating a fiscal year right now, and you're only going to have 1 more fiscal year if we were to figure this out in a couple of months. So that's why we're presenting it now, to try and give you guys an idea of what the cost of this might be. And your situation is going to be even more precarious because you are unmetered and your service line locations are not always known. So as we go through this, we can talk about some discussion points, and Curtis is going to know more than I will about your particular system, but I'll just give you the points of what they're looking for. They are looking to identify everything either by a records review, that you have paperwork, original paperwork that's not photocopied, that says this was installed and someone signed off on the actual installation of what the pipe material was. That's one. And the weird part about the EPA doing this is it's not just the public water utility side, it's also the customer side. So they're looking for, they're looking for if the customer has lead on their side, that they need to be notified. And the EPA is getting all this grant money prepared for people to replace their lines if they do have lead on their side. They're not preparing any grant money for the utilities on if they have lead on our side. So that's just something to keep in mind. But the records review, they'll accept plumbing permits. They'll accept standards from way back when. They'll accept paper that's original. Other than that, they won't accept something that we write up today that an operator signs that says there's no lead. So they won't take that. They tried that once. The other one that they'll accept is a basic visual inspection. This falls more to the customer side. If you can go in and the customer plumbing is exposed in the garage or wherever, then you can do a scratch test, say, no, it's not lead, it's actually copper, steel, whatever, iron, whatever.
You have to do a scratch test to identify copper?
No, you can do a scratch test to identify the type of steel and if it does have any lead. But lead is not magnetic. So there's a couple of other things there. The last one is physical excavation. So you can go through and actually excavate pothole and verify. They are allowing meter excavation. So if you excavate at the meter, they'll allow that to say, since the utility doesn't go past the meter, whatever the connection point is at the tailpiece, they'll allow that as identifying our end for what the customer side is. So if you've got a steel coupling onto that tailpiece on the back of a meter, then they'll say, okay, that's fine, it's steel, unless you see something otherwise that would prove that it changes material, then they require a little bit more research. On the utility side, you can pothole to the curb stop and just say, well, it's a steel service, it's a galvanized service, it's a copper service, it's whatever, PVC. And they'll take that as the identification of the service, because usually you don't switch materials leading up to the meter. Like I said, you guys are in a different position because you don't have meters and you don't know where the service line is. And that's going to be difficult to where you're already taking the right steps and excavating what you can do, but it's going to have to be done by, like I said, end of next year for them to be satisfied with that.
Did I not read that you could use, for some of them, the year built, like for newer houses?
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. But that is only the house. So if the house was built past 1985 when lead was banned, they will take that as
right.
A plumber shouldn't have put anything in that was illegal.
Right.
We
go off county records on that?
Yes. Yep. You can look up plat maps. You can look up tax lots. You can say this house was built this year. If they did a remodel and they pulled a plumber permit, you can also do that to say all the housing, even if it was built prior to 85, but it had a remodel on file in 2010, they can also do that because they can't remodel with lead. That still doesn't mitigate the utility side, because if they put in a main line that was older and it was sitting there for years waiting for development, you have to know the age of the water line in particular. So most people don't know the exact date of the water line. And that's where we start to get in trouble. Go ahead.
And then didn't I also read that you, something about a 20% have to be of the unknown, have to be physically investigated?
They're not going to allow any unknowns by the time you get to middle of October.
Oh, okay.
So,
just for initial.
Yeah, they're not going to allow anything there. Like I said, I really don't know why they're allowing that as a category. What they're saying is if you go out and you're starting to ratio wise that you dig out 4 out of 5 meters and they're all good, that yeah, you can allow 20%, but you have to go back and identify that fifth meter. So why would you just skip around and base it off of ratios? They're looking for 100% inventory by the time we get to October 16th.
This is in the cost falls to the water district, residential side.
It does, unfortunately. Okay. Like I said, that's why they're allowing the residential side. They'll take at the water meter because that's technically where our line is. But we had several state agencies and associations fight the EPA before this was passed to say, we're responsible for literally half the meter. The resident is responsible for the other half and everything passed. Why would we investigate the backside? And the EPA didn't care. They passed it anyway and said, you must do this. So.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that the main lines, that would be kind of really straightforward. We don't have that many main lines. So it would be more on the residential side.
Wouldn't it be the service line to each house?
Yeah, it's the service line there. Yeah. So the main lines, we do have a system that we manage right now that has lead joints in the main line. So there are still main lines that have lead in them, but they're primarily looking for lead service lines.
Okay.
That would be the last kind of component that would have lead.
Okay. To the resident.
Yes. So in the case, in a normal case where you have meters, it would be the line that feeds the meter would be the service line. The line coming out of the meter would feed the resident, and that would be their ownership. But since you guys don't have that, there's kind of a gray line right there. But they're looking for, in particular, the service line as well as the beginning of the residential.
And the residential begins at a shutoff valve or at the meter?
At the meter.
Yeah.
So okay. There's what's called a tailpiece generally. It's threaded on the backside like a union to the meter so you can change the meter. That tailpiece is technically owned by the customer, but generally water utilities say that's the last component for them. Because a water utility generally requires to have that tailpiece put in there so they can change out the meter. Everything past that is customer. So since that tailpiece is usually brass, then anything that's connected to that tailpiece is what you can identify the customer side with. So
Curtis, have you seen any, you've been installing a few meters here. Have you seen anything that wasn't PVC? For a service line?
Well, things that weren't PVC, but I haven't seen any lead.
Okay.
So I've seen a lot of steel, polyethylene, but no lead.
I have a feeling we probably don't have much in the way of lead.
Yeah. Well, I wish my say-so was enough, but it's not.
Right. Well, yeah. We do have some houses here still that were, you know, built in the 1930s. So there's a handful of some really old ones. So who knows what we're going to find there.
Well, and unfortunately it just takes one, right? I mean, cause that's what you're saying about the 20% rule, that most of our systems aren't going to have any services, but I'm guessing probably 10% of our systems will have one. And that's what they're trying to do. They're looking for 100% elimination, even though we really don't have much of a lead problem on the West Coast. On the East Coast, they have major lead problems. That's really who the federal government is attacking right now. So.
And then you mentioned something about grants.
Yeah, they're coming up with money. Yeah, they're coming up with money for the residents. So customer plumbing, to get that replaced. They haven't announced anything yet. We're monitoring the state website to kind of follow up on that, but they have made it clear that utilities are on their own.
But that the grant money would only be for the customer?
Yes.
And not for a water district?
That's right. Yep. So
that was our budget.
All you're doing is identifying if there's lead. If there's lead on the residential side, even though we're the ones that have identified that the resident is the one that's responsible for replacing the piping. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
If there's not a meter installed, can we identify it at the corp stop?
Not at the corp stop. You can't identify it at your main line. You could probably argue the property line. That's how sewer works, because they don't have meters on sewers.
Yeah, the corp stop's going to be right outside the property line.
Yeah, but you're going to be responsible for... Yeah, I think it varies by situation, but you're going to be responsible for however long that service line is until the property line, most likely.
Oh, well, I think most of our corp stops, they're right along the property line and the edge of the right of way.
Half of them cross the road.
Huh?
Half of them cross the road.
Right. And so are you if they're on the other side of the road, or you're responsible to the property line still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So generally, to give you an idea, when you place a meter, you're going to put it on the edge of the property, even if your main line is on the other side of the road.
Right. Right.
So you're not going to have a meter that is off of someone's property that they have to put their customer plumbing in the right of way or on somebody else's property.
No, Yeah.
So it's going to go all the way to the property line. And, you know, I don't think it necessarily has to be surveyed, but it's probably going to be pretty arguable. This is where the district's responsibility is going to end.
Okay.
So I think identification is going to be the rough one here, but we could talk about that. I can send Curtis my PowerPoint to distribute to you guys just so you can see the information later if you have more questions. But in there is a spreadsheet template of what they are requiring, what they think is optional, and what they think is, probably coming soon, phase two of this project. So whenever they ask for optional, it usually means we're thinking about this, but we couldn't get it to pass this time. So they have identified the primary questions are the system owned service line, what date was it installed, and the year the customer owned service line was installed, so their customer plumbing. And what type of line material it is. Like I said, one of the four categories, lead, non-lead, galvanized, or unknown. And then you've got for both the water system, the customer side, and how it was able to be verified. And so that's usually going to be a picture, a permit, or whatever it is. The useful information they're asking for is what type of connection it is. So if we do know what the pipe material is, we might as well write it down. And that's what I think is coming in phase two that there's a lot of rumblings about. So, and then what they're saying is good to know is what size the line is and what size the customer side is. And they've got a bunch of, what population is it serving and what race are they? And is this an underprivileged? I mean, they really take it to the next level.
Like you said, it's geared toward the East Coast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The most important thing at the end is this reporting summary. It's an Excel sheet currently. They haven't posted it yet, but they've taken screenshots of what their ideas look like. It's going to have a total count of lead services, a total count of galvanized, total count of non-lead, and a total count of unknown. But that unknown won't work for middle of October. So, like I said, I don't know why they keep including it, but they've made it clear they're not going to take that. After that inventory is complete, by the middle of October, it just has to be accessible to the public. So it needs to be updated annually. I don't think that's going to be a big deal, because as long as you're not building new houses, then you don't need to update anything. And the only thing to track would be if customers are doing remodels. So it might be good to check with the county once a year and say, hey, were there any permits for our water district for a remodel?
Well, other than that, and we check those.
So other than that, I don't think that it really needs much effort to keep it updated, but you will need to post it on a website or somewhere public. And I've got a slide on that for what they're talking about. So as far as next steps, I don't need to be a part of this conversation. Curtis can take it from here, so that way I don't rack up my clock here. But as far as developing a plan, you guys are already in the process of splicing in some meters, and that's a great effort, but we need to make sure that by the time we get to October, that we're going to have enough wiggle room to make sure that we've seen every service line and get it updated for the EPA's knowledge. As far as the record search, just like what Beth was mentioning, is this can be a computer project, because the houses that are newer, we know that they're not going to have lead on their side, because that would have been illegal. Then it's just a matter of, do we have any information that would state when our main line was built? Because if the main line was built after 85, then you should be okay, right? So that could be some research for you guys that would save money. The ones that are unknown, like the 1930 houses, you're probably just going to have to excavate. I mean, there's probably other ways of doing it, but what we've found with other clients is just excavation is probably the most cost effective. Now, generally, we know where the meter boxes are, so we can give an estimate of how long that's going to take. Since you guys don't know where everything is, it's going to be really hard to track down an estimate for that. But that would be the first step. Curtis can walk you through all of that, get you budgeting numbers, whatever, on that. Like I said, it's not going to be easy, but he's fully capable of that. And then it doesn't have to be Highland that does this work. If you want to hire another contractor, contractors are popping up all over Oregon right now trying to tell people they can find their lead copper lines, you know, and so it doesn't have to be Highland. We're not advocating for that. We're just letting you know as your operators that this is a requirement that we have to follow to keep our certifications. So we just want to be a part of the plan. We don't need to necessarily be part of the excavation. What assistance you're going to need, where the funding's going to come from, all of that can be board level discussion, operator discussion, whatever you want that to be. This is in your court. I would ask that, I'm assuming if you're budgeting right now, that you're going to have your budget finalized by June something, so that way it's effective in July. My request would be that you keep us informed at that time in July of how much money you've set aside to do what, so we can be involved in keeping you guys on track for meeting that requirement, or helping you with regional circuit riders or whatever we can try and do to get you through this. So that's kind of where I'm landing. Is there any questions on that? Like I said, I'll share the PowerPoint so you guys have the info. It's a lot to memorize.
You mentioned circuit rider. How could we use the circuit rider program?
Circuit rider program, I don't know what they're willing to do, but they do some contracting work. And then I know that they do some locating and leak detection work for no charge to members. So if you're having a problem finding a service line, for example, they might be willing to come out and correlate and do whatever they can to try and find that line, so you're not paying us to do that.
Who's so the thing?
OAWU primarily, Oregon Association of Water Utilities. I don't know if you guys are members or not, but
yes, we are.
Okay. So that might be a great resource to reach out to. They've got a lot more info on this than even I do. One of them, I guess Bob, he just retired, but he was researching this and kind of following the bill and legislation before it passed. So as far as, like I said, we can try and do our best to help facilitate, but there's a lot of water districts that are right in your boat that I don't think the government is really thinking about. So we can do what we can.
Send us the PowerPoint.
Can do. Any other questions?
I don't think I have anything for you, JJ.
Perfect. Well, I'll send this over to Curtis, who can forward it. And yeah, anything that you guys need, just let me know. And I'll keep touching base with Curtis to make sure you guys are on track.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad he was the bearer of bad news instead of me. I never like to give anyone bad news.
But I can't imagine it's going to be that bad. It's just a matter of finding them.
Well, it's just a matter of finding them.
Yeah,
at the right place. That's just, but that's dollar signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we've got to be able to document it. So.
Well, a lot of water systems, what they're able to do is just dig up where the water meter is, look at both sides, and call it good. I mean, obviously, unless there's lead on one side. It's just unfortunate that you guys don't have that luxury. We have some water systems where they don't even have meters anywhere, but they do mark where the water line runs at the property corner. So even there, we can dig up the water line.
So right. This
is a little bit of an unusual case. But
okay.
Sounds like maybe we should start up the Corp Stop crew again. We did pretty good before.
The Corp Stop crew?
Yeah, that's where, you know, Craig and I went out and found Corp Stops.
I'll take whatever help you guys have. That's kind of where we're at. I wasn't sure if you guys wanted me to stick around for anything. I finished my report. I'm happy to discuss options if you have any practical thoughts, but if you want time to discuss it as a board, I can step out.
Curtis, do you have any ballpark of what it's going to be? Like, is it going to be 20,000? Is it going to be 60,000? Is it going to be 100,000?
I couldn't give you a ballpark. Beth, you know off the top of your head how many meters are not yet installed? It's 100 and something, right?
Well, let's see. We've got 160 connections. We've got, how many do we have? We had 60 meters, so we've got 70.
I thought it was like 73 or something.
Meters?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it recently. So
roughly
we have quite a few.
Then.
What?
Roughly 90 unmetered connections.
Yeah, 80 to 90.
Okay.
Somewhere
when
in there.
We've been out with the back trailer, we've been able to find about 4 or 5 in a day.
Right.
But, well, and it doesn't sound like we necessarily have to dig everything up. We just need to start with this. It sounds like we should just start with this record search, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be the thing to do first.
You asked for a ballpark number. That's as best as I can give you. When we're looking for the service line, that's about what we average.
Yeah. Hey, Curtis, you said you're going to get us a price on these meters, the 5 or 6 in Ferguson. Okay. Put your name on.
I'm going to guess it'll be about $200 each.
Yeah, probably about the same. So
yeah, they were just under that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the last ones were a little bit less, so.
Okay.
Okay, very good. I don't have anything else for you, Curtis.
Not right now.
No.
Well, you guys have a wonderful night, and I will be out on the 20th with the vac trailer. We'll start splicing some more meters.
Very good. Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the treasurer and office report.
Okay. So Whitney just got these statements, and she got them to me kind of late this afternoon, after doing a bunch of other stuff. So I will just run through this real quick. I think I forwarded most everything. I'm not sure if I forwarded the statements to you guys yet. I
haven't seen them now.
Okay, I'll make sure I get those over to you. So let's see, the Columbia checking account, which is now First security, correct that, is at $160,299.75. Uncleared is $4,391.02 for a QuickBooks register balance of $155,908.73. So the uncleared is negative. System development fund, Beth, you had asked last time if we would break that out. So the beginning balance as of 6/30 of 2022 was at $23,446. And keep in mind, this is part of the balance that's in the First Security checking account. So far this year, we've collected $37,278. So the total system development fund as of the end of March was at $60,724. There's a slight discrepancy here. I haven't had a chance to get with Whitney on it yet. It's a couple hundred dollars. So, but anyway, so that's that. Let's see, general checking account activity, total credits were $24,520.36. Debits were $10,623.15. Treasury savings is at $84,593.45. Community centers the same at $366.79. Chlorination accounts at $18,772.23. There's an uncleared amount of $1,806.61, and the QuickBook register balance is $16,965.62. The AR balance sheet, it's a negative, it's $13,708.75. And the QuickBooks current assets as of 3/31 is at $244,125.84. Accounts payables are at the bills that are ready to pay are at $3,546.71. And I don't think I've got much else to add to that. So the only other thing I do have one more thing to add to that. You know, we've got this great big balance sitting in the checking account. And right now there's some checking accounts that are paying interest. And I don't know if that's something that we want to look into or not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was just thinking, why are we keeping the system development fund in a checking account? Why don't we put it in our state treasury fund?
I'm not sure what that's earning. I mean,
it's around 4% somewhere.
Is it about 4? Yeah, I really haven't looked at it.
0.04.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Or 0.004 for that matter. We sure could. I mean, it's silly to just leave it sitting there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. We just, yeah.
So something to think about. It's $60,000. So $60,000 earning 4% interest is better than not earning anything.
Right.
Do we want to make a decision on doing something like that? Or
sure, I'd make a motion that we transfer all our system development funds to the state. Our state treasury account.
It's still going to leave you $100,000 sitting in a checking account.
Yeah, we really, really even shouldn't have that much in a checking account, but
right.
Why we do.
But. Well, and I could go over to First Security and talk to them a little bit and see. I mean, I don't know how much money management we want to get into. It's the other thing, you know. So, I mean, we could start talking about CDs and a whole bunch of different stuff, but I don't know if that's really anywhere we want to go. So, but they may have a savings account that we can sign up for.
Yeah, they aren't going to have anything as good as the state treasury.
Right, right. But they may have something that's 3.5%. So I could at least go talk to them and
yeah,
see.
Yeah, you could talk to them. I was looking online and they didn't, wasn't impressed, but I couldn't put you the interest rates I saw.
Right, right. So.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you look into it then?
Yeah, I will. But do we want to make a motion to at least move that system development money?
Isn't that what you were talking about? You're talking about even other money?
I'm talking about the $100,000 that's going to be left sitting in the checking account.
Right. Well, we can we can move any of it into the state treasury account.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We just have to keep track of what's general fund, what's, you know, system development fund, what's reserve fund, et cetera.
Right, right.
But yeah, I'll go ahead and make a motion to at least transfer the system development fund money to the state LGIP treasury account.
I'll second that.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Can I get a motion to accept the bills to be paid? I do have a question about that.
Yeah,
Eileen, I assume since you're on top of things, that you have receipts for everything and Beth has a receipt for Zoom.
I sent it in already, yeah. It's just that I sent it too long ago because it was right after our last meeting.
I think those are the only ones Whitney needs to kind of get those uploaded so we can see those. I mean, I've got a copy of them too, but I think everything else was there.
We have receipts for everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making sure.
Yeah. 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 Mine is for we bought a shredder and we had to buy a new printer cartridge. So, and then the gutter one, Lisa, we're going to get reimbursed for the majority of that. There's $120 that's going to be on us. Well, then, and I'm assuming we're going to see a deductible somewhere.
Yeah, we've got a $250 deductible. So yeah. I imagine they'll take it out of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So. Yeah. And then there was just those Bricor invoices. And hopefully we'll start seeing those every month. So.
And hopefully we got it straightened out on those older ones that.
Yeah, I think so. I think those were them, right, Whitney?
Yeah. So we have received three from them, one for July through December, and then January and February. I've not yet received March, but we should be getting them monthly from here out. They had a new computer system they transferred over to and it made a backlog on their end.
So are they still charging us for that?
I'm talking to her. I sent her all my information about that today and she's going to look into it and get back to me. We're probably going to get it refunded.
We shouldn't. They were, yeah.
They were wanting it's to not on our end.
Late fees for invoices they never sent to us.
Right.
Okay, I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
I'll second.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Can I get motion to accept the treasurer and office report?
I'll make that motion.
I second it. Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is the funding update. do we have anything to update?
Well, we're waiting for Debbie from PSU to get us that completed report. Business Oregon wants something from us by the, I think, the 18th. And Debbie with PSU assured us that she would have that report done by then. They finally got enough people to complete their survey. So, yay. And it looks like there's, yeah, I know. And there looks like there's been a little bit more activity on that FEMA grant. I saw an email where they answered some more questions. So anyways, and then we're trying to schedule something with Kevin so we can put together a couple of different scenarios. And hopefully we'll have the PSU survey information available, so that will help a little bit. We also got an answer back from Michelle at Business Oregon. Beth had asked the question last month about other funding options, and I think we kind of got those answered as far as what else was available. And now I'm kind of drawing a blank as far as what the answer was, but it wasn't really anything that we thought we could use. Is that right, Beth?
Well, no, they said she didn't give us much information, just said they had what else was available was its standard interest rates.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, that's where that's at, Lisa. We're still, you know, I think we're getting closer to at least having an answer from PSU that hopefully will help us, will help us a little. I really think that if we can sit with Kevin and get some different scenarios might help us too. It just might help us go, okay, look, if we spend $1.5 million, this is what we can do. And we can keep our fingers crossed that we get this FEMA grant that'll pay for a new water tank and, you know, and just kind of look at a couple of different things. So anyways, that's my thought.
Okay. Did we have any other correspondence?
Not me.
Nope. Beth, do we want to discuss we wanted to add the Highland contract.
Mm-hmm. It's that, yeah. I put it after budget, but either way, under special order of business, I put a revised agenda up on the website.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm not reading it because I'm reading
the original.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, doesn't matter either way when it can go.
Well, do you want to talk about the budget preparations?
Sure. So back to Highland, to the contract.
I guess not.
Well, we don't think. I think we need to look at it, but it looks like they just kind of increased it, and then it's only through December, so.
Right.
Yeah.
One big change is that they're going to go to a calendar year instead of matching our fiscal year, so it would be a 6-month contract going from July 1 to December 31st.
Right,
Renew in January.
Yeah.
Yeah, their increases are, you know, the monthly base fee is a 14% increase over last year. The hourly rates for the different positions range from a 5.8 increase to a 12.5 increase for most of them. Some are 6, some are 9% increases, so. They didn't increase their vac truck or service truck fees, but it will mean some some calculator work when we try to figure out our budget for the upcoming year.
As all right. Well, that,
the rest of the contract is the same as last year, as far as the language in the contract. And that includes everything that we talked about and the changes that we made last year.
So
that looks good.
Is there any room for negotiation? Is there anything that we could ask them to include in the new contract? I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing the idea out there if we can.
Right. Well, we did that last year and they took all our requests and.
Okay.
But I don't know what that would be.
Right. No, and neither do I, Beth. I mean, if we've already asked them for stuff last year, I don't know if there was anything that you or Lisa, you know, so. Okay, we can move on now.
Well,
are we going
to have Lisa sign this? Are we approving this contract? If we want to make any changes or we want to negotiate with them, we have to do that this coming month because it's due by, I think, what did I put in my email? I calculated it out. I think May 17th, we would have to have that all finished before that date, which is 45 days before it expires.
Okay.
So if we're not going to do that, if we're going to do that, we need to, you know, start working on that and set it up and figure out how to get it approved. Otherwise, we would want to approve it. We have to, as a board, formally approve the contract.
Well, I'm not shopping for anybody else right now. So I guess if we want to continue to have a water service, we should probably approve it. They have an eliminate, and I apologize. I have not really looked at the contract. So I'm assuming they haven't eliminated anything. They've just done some increases.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything that is in, that we've had them doing under the basic system operation, which is the set amount each month, is it the same?
Yeah.
With an increase from $1,400 to $1,600. So a $200 increase, which is what? 14%, I think. And then their rates for their, you know, time and materials stuff, their rates they charge for their different staff and everything. Some of those have increased, but everything's going up. So other than that, it's identical. There's no new language in it except for the change, which will be a little bit difficult for us because now we're going to have to project out, you know, a half year at this rate and then, you know, throw out a percentage to increase it for another 6 months when we do our budget.
Yeah, which is a crapshoot anyways, because we don't know what we got them doing. You know, it kind of depends on if we've got meters or.
Right. Know. Well,
yeah. So. Well, I guess my only thought on this is if there's any room to negotiate on some of it. You know, it's just some of these seem like kind of a big increase. So, I mean, I understand prices have gone up, but anyways.
What seems large to
you? Well, it just seems like, you know, 14%, that's kind of a big increase.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, I think we're pretty limited in who we can have come and do the service for us. So
yes, we are. They're about the only shop around. So
yeah.
We're too small to probably hire anybody with the skill levels that we and the certification levels that we would need.
Yeah. So we have to have this approved by May 17th.
We have to have any changes negotiated before then.
Okay. All right.
Yes, we do have to have it approved because we have to let them know 45 days before the end of the current contract.
Okay. So we really have one more month to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's look at it and we'll make the decision at the next board meeting. Is that okay?
Right. Unless we have to work on, negotiating or you come up with something to negotiate, then we might have to have a special meeting or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is the budget preparations.
Right, so Eileen and I met. And went over the initial preparation, I think pretty good. And she's been working on that.
I'm trying, Beth. I'm trying to work on it. And then I scratch my head and I think, okay, what the hell am I doing? So.
I know that, been there.
So, yeah. So we do have this appropriations transfer that we need to approve. At least I think you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Beth and I are actually going to meet again the week of the 17th. And I've got the calendar, but I really haven't plugged in too many dates. I'm hoping that once we meet again, we can have a proposed budget to submit and then we can get some dates filled in.
Well, we might hope to do that beforehand. Because we've got some, you've always got the lead time because we have to advertise, we have to put a notice in the paper, or that's the easiest, cheapest way to do the initial notice for the first meeting. And that has to be, I think, 4 or 5 days, minimum four or five days before the meeting. But then
right.
You get it advertised, you got to get it in for the legals. So they have to be in Monday morning for the Friday paper.
Right. But before we can do anything, we have to have a proposed budget completed.
Well, you have to know that you're going to have one by the date that you say you will have one, which goes in the notice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because that's part of the notice. You're saying, hey, we're going to start our budget meetings, and the first one's going to be on this date, and we'll have a copy of the proposed budget available by this date, and here's how you can get one. You can contact our office. You can go to our website. We'll post it up on the website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what goes in that initial notice. And then the only other thing for the initial that notice is to decide whether you have to have a hearing to allow the public to comment on the proposed budget. You can do that in the first or the second meeting. We usually always do it for the first meeting, but that's the only other thing you have to decide.
Okay.
For that notice.
Okay, so, all right, that makes sense. So Beth, so we should be able to, if we get together, we should be able to put a date down, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, and then you have that proposed budget available by the time. Okay, I get it. All right.
So, yeah, we might just find, Lisa, you said you had some commitments, what, in May?
I didn't tell you that, but I did.
You said something about.
Yeah, I think you said you were losing somebody, Lisa, and you were going to be kind of.
Oh, we are. But we lose somebody next week. So, you know, we're going to be shorthanded.
Yeah. No, you said something about birthday or something some month here coming up and you wouldn't be available all the times or something.
Oh, my birthday is in May. Yes.
Oh, that's what you mentioned.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be here the 12th. No, the 13th, 14th, which is a weekend, and the 15th I come back. So, but other than that, I'm not doing anything.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just fill up your evenings there. so we can.
It has to be 6. And you have to give me at least a little bit of notice.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't do it on Wednesdays. And there's a couple of Thursdays I can't because I don't get off work till late. Because we're missing that person. Every Wednesday I can't do it because I work late. And then there's some Thursdays that I have to stay late because we're missing a person. And I can look at the calendar and tell you guys that tomorrow. But yeah. Wednesdays
okay,
are not good, and some Thursdays.
Okay, so what we should do is maybe when we meet next week, Eileen, we can figure out what the earliest time is we can meet and schedule the notice and everything.
Yes.
And then we'll check.
Yes.
We'll check with people to see what dates they can make.
Okay. Yep, sounds good.
So we have no ordinances. We do have one resolution, and I do have one question about it. It's not about what we're doing. It's, do I have to read every single line in it, or can I just read this the language? I don't have to, do I have to read where it goes from and to?
No.
Okay.
It's posted on the website. It'll be, you know, all posted.
Okay. Do you want me to read it, or do we want to just ask for comments and vote on it?
Has everyone read it? It's just.
Is it the yes. appropriations transfer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what it is. So
yes, you wrote it. Yeah, why don't you read the whereas clause and
okay. Whereas the Board of Commissioners of the Otter Rock Water District has determined that a transfer of appropriations in the general fund / administration fund is needed for the purposes of unforeseen cost increases for insurance rates, payroll expenses to cover additional bookkeeping for audit and PSU studies, and to cover added costs for office supplies and price increase for the monthly water testing. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Otter Rock Water District to transfer appropriations into the general fund / administration fund as follows.
Right. And most of this, I might note that we don't really have to have in the resolution because it's within just some adjustments within the detail categories. But we decided, and Eileen did all this work, but just you have to put it in the spreadsheet anyway, might as well put it all in the resolution. The only thing that required the resolution was adding things between operating expenses and personnel costs, which we are increasing some of the payroll expenses. But other than that, it was just kind of minor juggling of money.
Yeah.
Budgeted appropriations.
So does anyone have any questions about it? No. Can I get a motion to accept this resolution 2023-20?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
To pass resolution number 2023-20, appropriations transfer.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is public comments. Do we have any public comments? Seeing none. Board member comments. Eileen, do you have any?
No, no comments.
Beth?
No, I'll think of it in, 15 minutes, but.
My only comment is that I think we should over budget for the EPA locates. Because that kind of concerns me. So I think we should over budget for that. But other than that, that's the only my comment.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like I don't know if it's going to be that difficult. I think hopefully we can use some tax records and some other stuff. And so.
Right, now I'm kicking myself. One time I was going through the tax records and I thought of writing down the year built, but I didn't for everything. We can do a lot of that work, and we could most likely easily at least locate a bunch of those, bunch of our corp stops where we don't have meters.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. I just don't think it's going to be.
We've got a lot of them marked out on a map, which are pretty close. Get a long tape and run from one to the next and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a shovel or a probe to, do a little bit of digging.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of making sure that we're documenting the way they want it documented. And, and if we have to enlist the help of Highland, we can do that.
We will have to enlist their help for some of it.
They'll
have to be looking at,
right.
The actual stuff that,
yeah.
At least I think we could do a good part of that.
Yeah. And if you think about it, we do have, it's not like we don't have any meters. We do have meters. And I think if we can continue on this path of putting more meters in, that should help. So.
Right.
Yeah. So we need to look. If he said they've got 5 or 6 more meters, we should probably think about getting those ordered if they're available. And I think we were looking at how much money we've got sitting in the budget, and we've got money for putting some more in. So we should just keep going. So, anyways,
yeah. But if we don't. We don't get them now, we're not going to get them in before the end of the fiscal year, but.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And if they've got some in stock, we should probably get those ordered because we've got the boxes.
We've got some boxes, yeah.
Right.
We could probably get those quicker than the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'd say we go ahead and order maybe, you know, half a dozen more meters.
Yeah, I agree. We can at least get them, and I'm really curious to see the cost of these next four that they do. So, So that should give us a good idea of how much more we can spend before the end of the budget year.
So. Yeah, do we want to wait till next meeting to approve ordering more meters, or do we want to do that now?
I'd like to go ahead and get them ordered. So I would go ahead and approve that.
Do you want to make a motion then?
Sure, I'll make a motion. I know we haven't gotten a price from Curtis, but I'm going to, you know, so assuming that they're no more than $195 a piece, I'm going to make a motion that we get them ordered.
Okay. If no more. $195? You won't go as high as 200, huh?
Well, I'd like to know how much we paid for the last batch. Do you remember?
I think it was around 170 something.
Yeah.
I doubt if they're going to be more than
200, right.
But
okay, well, put 200 down.
Okay. Yeah, I like even numbers.
Okay.
Not more than 200. How many?
I think we should. If he said there were five or six available, I think we should get what's available. So if there's six of them, let's get six of them.
Order six. And if they aren't available, then we can't. So, okay.
Right. And we've got nine boxes. They're going to install four. Yeah, because we're missing a box. We were supposed to get 10 boxes and we only got nine.
Well, we only have nine. We only got nine meters, those reprogrammed meters they had.
Okay.
So we got nine boxes to go with them.
Do we need to
order? We will need to order more. In some cases, they put them in the existing box with the corp stop, but
okay.
It just depends
on the city. Well, let's get the meters ordered. And I'll reach out to them and ask them what the lead time is on the box.
Okay. So the motion will, if no more than 200, order six more meters.
Yeah.
Up to six more meters.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes.
I was going to ask.
Hello, Patty.
I have a question. What if they're $205?
Then we're not going to get them.
And then what's the alternative?
They're not going to be paid.
Well, I'm just saying, we've been paying $50 a month for water. Well, it went up to, you know, from 20 to 30, I guess, for meters. I don't know how many years ago that was, but I don't know. I don't know. I just don't get it. Why don't you just order as many as you can? We're paying for them, as the customers are paying for them. And we have been. And so if you're saying I'm not going to order them if they're over $200, I don't know what your alternative is to get more meters. That's all I'm wondering. I mean, to me, you just need to order them.
Right. I think part of the problem is that you've only got a certain amount of money in the budget to, once you've got them ordered, to get them installed. Okay. And right now, installing them is costing about $2,000. Okay. So once you've got the meter ordered, you still have to pay to get it installed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it, Patty. Mm-hmm.
Well,
on the budget.
Yeah, I understand that, I guess, but it just seemed odd to me that to say, well, if they're more than 200, we're not going to order them. I mean, we need meters. What? I don't know what the alternative is if they're over $200. Then what would you do?
Well, then we shop around.
Oh, you can do that. I didn't know that. I don't know enough about water meters. I just know we're paying more money every month to have one, and we don't have one. So I'm just curious.
You want one? Where's your corpse up?
I have no idea.
Join the corpse stop crew and we'll go find yours.
Anyway, that was my only thing. I mean, you know, I understand that you don't want to pay more than you think they're worth or whatever, but it just, I didn't realize you could shop around, I guess. So
I think you should order fewer.
That's all I'm trying to say.
You know, Patty, unfortunately right now, I think, you know, we're kind of relying on Highland to do a lot of this work for us.
Right.
And I know Highland, I think they source a lot of their product from Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, when I first started kind of getting into this, well, and you also have a lot of price increases because you've got a lot of supply chain issues that have gone on.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know, you know, things are smoothing out. So you would think that there was a lead time as well on meters. 6 months ago, there was a lead time on meters and we couldn't even get them.
Yeah, it was 4 months.
Pardon me?
It was 4 months or something.
Right, right. So
at one point,
Curtis is saying that they've got these six at Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, Peggy, they are a little bit vague as far as being able to give us a price, which is somewhat, it's somewhat frustrating.
Yeah.
Coming from a background in distribution, you know.
Right.
So, but there again, I think because it's just the three of us, and I don't think any of us want to go out and start shopping for meters. We're kind of just relying on Highland.
It seems so, like if you gave them that dollar figure, you and they say, oh, sorry, it's $205, you will be shopping around, it sounds like. I don't know.
The chances of it being, I doubt it's going to be over $200. It better be about $175. So, and I think that's one of the reasons I want to hold off on approving this contract for next year too, because I really want to take a look at it and go, okay, now wait a minute. No.
Yeah.
So as far as ordering all of them, I mean, and Beth can interject here too, but I think part of the issue is the budget. And, you know, you've got so much money in your budget to do certain things, and you don't want to invest it all in a bunch of meters that are going to be sitting on the shelf.
Because you don't have the money to install them.
Right, because you don't have the money to install them. So, we're getting four of them installed, and I'm kind of curious to see what the price is going to come back for those installations. So,
I wonder if you could say.
Anyways,
excuse me.
My 2 cents.
Go ahead. What if you said we have so much money that we could spend on meters? How many meters can we buy with that? You know, so in other words, you've got a figure in mind, I would imagine, of how much money you want to spend on meters and how much you want for installation. Was that correct? So like maybe you could only buy four for your budget. You couldn't buy all six. But if you say this is how much money we have, how many can we buy? Then you pretty much, you know, it's obviously there won't be more than six, but you'd have a figure that way. You wouldn't have to say we're only going to spend $200 because you go. If they're 250 and you can only buy four, then that's all the budget will allow. But if you can, you know, if you understand what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Eileen was saying, it's more the install. We know we can buy meters and have them on the shelf, but we want to see the cost for the installation. You know, it may be we buy, we buy some meters that we don't get installed this fiscal year, but they're ready to go for next fiscal year.
Right.
And I don't think the price.
Okay. We want to keep ahead of that so we have them available.
Yeah.
And ready to go.
And like Stan said, the prices aren't going to go down probably. Yeah,
and I understand in the long run how that's going to happen, but right now you're just trying to get 5 meters and you're trying to figure out how to phrase it. And I think it's crazy to put a limit on it too, like only $200. You say we have 5 meters and we've got $2,000. Will that cover it? You know, say we'll go up to a certain price, whatever you figure is in your budget. And then if you can only get 4 meters, you can only get 4 meters because it's in your budget. You know what I, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right. Or we might shop around if they turn out to be too much.
Okay. So
maybe we could have put a higher limit on it, but we didn't. You know, that was, I got her up another $5. Come on, guys.
Let me go get another glass of wine and you might get me up.
I like round numbers too.
I think it'd be real nice to have meters on hand in case we can install them this year. That's the whole thing that I'm kind of, you know, even if we don't have enough money to install them all,
yeah.
Let's get the meters.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that we're probably trying to work out as well, because right now I don't know that we really have any meters on hand. We've got, you know, we've got what, 3 that we're waiting for some warranty information on.
We've got 6 on the shelf right now. 3 got swapped out.
Yeah.
We had 9. 3 were swapped out for non-working ones that we will get back at some point.
Yeah. But I think Stan, you've got a good point. And I think that's probably a good goal for us is to start looking at the amount of meters that we have to see if we can't increase it a little bit and increase this installation of meters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when, you know, we Beth and I sat down and looked at the budget last week and it was like, oh, we've got this chunk of money sitting here. Let's push forward on getting some more of these meters installed. So
I agree. Yeah. As many meters as we can purchase, I think we should, and then we'll worry about installation later.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. But there again, you don't want a bunch of meters just sitting on the shelf.
They're just increasing in value.
Wow. Oh, well, anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Well, it's appreciated. You know, we need all the 2 cents we can get. So
thanks a lot. Good luck.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Do you have a headache?
I'm going to stop recording and we are going to adjourn the meeting at 7:24.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Good night, everybody. Thanks for getting me those reports.